Now we have our second feature with Emma Brennan and her Harking Back article in the Evening News. She looks back at the fantastic reads of her childhood. Your reader is Sarah Lusher.
Am I the only one who gets exasperated when they see small children staring at a phone or iPad screen? What happened to storybooks which fired up the imagination in a creative and positive way? Try as I might, I can't get my head around everything needing to be accompanied by a video these days. This is because one of the things I remember most about childhood is the good old-fashioned books which gave us our fix of escapism. I'm thinking elaborate tales of furry animals, fairies and other fantastical beings living in magical places, which made it easy to close your eyes and be transported to faraway lands. No need whatsoever for moving pictures. I was the sort of child who loved the idea of cute animals living in woodland burrows. I would draw pictures of how I imagined their snug homes, often complete with fireplace and bed, bedecked in cosy blankets. So for me, no authors fueled my imagination better than Beatrix Potter and Enid Blyton. Back in the day, my sister and I were real fans and had the whole of the famous Five and Secret Seven series of books at our disposal. Our collection also included, among many others, The Wishing Chair and Enchanted Wood Stories. Enid Blyton was a prolific writer, penning more than 760 titles during a career spanning over 40 years. I know in this day and age some of her works have been amended due to the very different times we live in compared to when they were written, but her tales really stood the test of time for several generations. My mum, aged 87, recalls, "When we were at primary school, if we'd been good, the teacher would read to us from Enid Blyton's Sunny Stories, a magazine that serialised her books, and I remember it being quite magical. Some 30 years later, when I was at the same school, we would also have an Enid Blyton story read to us at the end of class. And when we were slightly older, one of us would be picked to read aloud to our classmates. As small kids, my nan would read to us if she babysat, and my favourite was The Faraway Tree. The stories were set in an enchanted wood where a group of children discover a very tall magical tree with branches stretching up to the clouds. At the top of the tree, a ladder led to a magical land which was different on every visit. The children befriended characters dwelling in the tree who accompanied them on adventures to the different lands. The children had to leave before the land departed, or they would be stuck there until it returned. I was both enthralled and at times horrified by these stories. I would break out in a sweat at the thought of being stranded in the land of Dame Slap, but the land of goodies or perpetual birthdays was rather more appealing. My other absolute favourite books as a child were those by American author and illustrator Richard Scarry, notably The Best Word Book Ever, first published in 1963, and What Do People Do All Day? These were not storybooks as such, but taught us so much, and we spent hours poring over the amazingly detailed pictures and making up our own yarns around them. There were illustrations of the inside of houses, boats and planes with the words for each picture underneath. It was how we learned. I will never forget the image with a bear sitting in the cockpit of a plane with the words "Handsome Pilot" and rabbit labelled "Pretty Stewardess." When one of my friends later became a pilot and another an air hostess, as they were known in the 1970s, my mum and I always joked about the Richard Scarry versions. I was slightly surprised to find that in updated versions of this book, the pilot is no longer handsome and the stewardess is a plain old flight attendant. Political correctness has even reached the Richard Scarry books. Other favourites were Millie Molly Mandy, mainly due to there being a map of a village inside the front cover, which I found fascinating, and Pookie Puts the World Right. First published in 1949, the latter featured a flying rabbit, Pookie, who hates the harshness of winter and tells it to go away, which it does, permanently. Without winter, the world gets so out of balance that Pookie realises the disastrous consequences of what he's done and sets out to restore the natural balance of the seasons. As a child, and ever since really, I always tried to solve problems so I could fully equate with good old Pookie. But when I look at our erratic weather patterns these days, I sometimes wonder if Pookie fully managed to reverse his meddling. At the very least, this story does seem prophetic.
Thank you, Sarah.